नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेषाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तेशधारिणे। Today is the last day of our yatra. On the request of devotees, we have come to this place. It is a very unknown part of Vrindavan, this particular temple. It is not to be found in any of the parikrama books. We only are aware of these deities, Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha, due to the mercy they have personally bestowed upon myself. Yesterday, devotees had a vote, and by the democratic process, the conclusion was that we come here today. We understand Krishna by the grace of Krishna's devotees. We cannot approach Krishna directly. It is by his own sweet will that he has arranged it in this way. Krishna wants to give credit to his devotees. He wants to bestow his mercy through his devotees. It is only through the mercy of the Vaishnavas that we can understand what is Krishna, what is the holy name, what is Vrindavan, what is the purpose of life beyond just greed and egoism. I would like to briefly narrate a few personal encounters in my life in relationship to Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha, with your permission. In 1971, I was a devotee of Lord Shiva. I was traveling from the area of Pashupatinath to Amarnath for a pilgrimage in the month of August. Very crowded third-class train. Didn't sit down for about 40 hours. Finally, the train stopped, and I just wanted somehow or other to move. So I crawled over people's heads and somehow just pulled myself out the window just to breathe and to move, because I had these attachments. And the train started moving, and I tried to get back in, but it was so very crowded that no window could even fit a human being inside. This is demigods playing kettle drums. So the train left and I was in this unknown place. I asked a sadhu on the railway platform, where is this? He said, this is Mathura. Today is Janmashtami. So he took me to Janmasthan, where I spent the whole day. It was very crowded and very joyful, although I really didn't know who is Krishna or what is Krishna so much. And then at midnight, everyone went to Dwarkadish temple and bathed in Vishwam Ghat. So I was thinking, actually that night I stayed, although I was in Mathura, I stayed in a temple of Lord Shiva with a Babaji named Shivananda. And I was thinking I will go to Vrindavan for about 3 days, then I will go to Amarnath. So I started walking down the road, and a bus saw me on the road, and between Vrindavan and Mathura, just near field, in fields, and just stopped and picked me up, said I didn't have to pay anything. So I went on the bus, and then I arrived, and I just asked someone, is there a river here? Jamuna, because I knew there was Jamuna. So they pointed, so I was just walking toward Jamuna, because that was my tradition. We're at whatever holy place, I would just go to whatever holy river was there and just sleep under a tree and do meditation. So as I was walking, one Vrijabasi approached me and said to me, oh, you have come from foreign land, because foreigners were very rare at that time. There was no ISKCON here at that time. Said, you have come to Krishna's home, and we are Krishna's family. You are our guest. Let me give you some food. So he took me to some Vrijabasi's house and had prasad, nice prasad. And then he said, where are you staying? I said, on the river. He said, no, he took me to an ashram of one blind sadhu. And I met him and he said, let him stay here. He said, yes. But still I went to the Jamuna. So on the third day, when I was going to leave in the morning for Mathura to the railway station, I woke up with typhoid fever. So I was very, very sick. And some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers were very kind to me. And after I was in this Ram Krishna charitable hospital for about 2 weeks, laying in a room with 40 dying people, they gave me shelter in one Gaudiya Math for some time. And I was studying there. The doctor told me I had to wait at least 2 months before I could travel, or I would die, because my body was so weak and emaciated from the way I was living. By the end of the 2 weeks, I mean 2 months, I came to the conclusion that of all the theologies, philosophies, religions, and spiritual paths that I have experienced, There is nothing higher. There is nothing sweeter. There's nothing more beautiful than the religion of Vrindavan, devotion to Sri Sri Radharani and Lord Krishna. So I decided to spend the rest of my life in Vrindavan and never leave. So after some time, I was living on bank of Jamuna, sometimes going to Govardhan, Nandagaon, Barasana, and various places. I would usually sleep under trees near Chirgat here in Vrindavan. We would go to Mangal Arati whenever in Vrindavan at Radharaman Temple, and then Radha Ballabh Temple, then go to a Mangal Arati in Sevakunj, and Banki Bihari gets up quite late. Sometimes to Radha Damodar Temple. So what happened is some sadhu, one very nice sadhu, he got to know me. I would go every night, he, a few sadhus, and myself, we would go around Vrindavan, Vrindavan Parikrama. We did this every night for the whole month of Kartik. We would just sing bhajans on the bank of Jamuna. One of the sadhus was a musical godbrother of Ravi Shankar. He played sitar. But he considered Ravi Shankar to be somewhat in Maya because he played ragas without Krishna's names. He would play ragas and only chant Krishna's names when he played. So we'd sit. He was a fantastic sitar player. We would sit on bank of Jamuna and just chant, and he would play, just about 3, 4, 5 of us. And then we would go around Vrindavan every night in the moonlight when there was a moon. And one of these nice sadhus told me, I want you to meet a very, very, very simple and pure soul. When you meet him, he will really, you will understand what is bhakti. So I thought he was going to bring me to some nice temple. He took me in the Radha Ballabha temple area, down this very isolated little alleyway where there was an open sewer gutter just flowing like anything, black sewage. And I had to step over that sewage gutter to get in the door. And it was someone's house. Very, very simple house, small house. And a family was living in that house, and they're always making noises and everything. And in a hallway, in one of the hallways of their house, there was a closet. Family was always passing, walking through that hallway, kind of an open hallway. And in that closet were the deities of Sri Sri Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha. And then he introduced me to the pujari. His name was Ghanashyam. And how gracious and how kind he was. He had such pure love and devotion to the deities. I was told that many years before, when he was a young man, he came from a very wealthy family. His
his father, mother, all the family members, they came on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. They spent a few days, and what the Dham of Vrindavan did to his heart was something wonderful. He became so deeply attached to Vrindavan. Just by being here, he became completely detached from everything in life. He saw no other purpose or meaning to existence except surrendering to Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So when it was time to go, he said, "I will stay here. I will not leave." So his parents thought, "This is ridiculous. Not leave." So they said, "All right, you come a little later." So they went back. The parents came back again and said, "Now you must come." He said, "No, I will not leave here." So they told him, We will take away all your property, all your money, everything, unless you come back. We will not in any way support your being here." He considered the only real treasure and wealth in life his residence in Vrindavan, in the service of Radha and Krishna. So they left. From a very wealthy family, he was in total poverty. In the summer, which is very hot, in the winter, which is extremely cold, he would just sleep in the dust of Vrindavan, on the ground, in various places. He would go and do some madhukari and get some roti. At that time, Vrindavan was a very, very quiet place. He hardly knew anyone. He would just be immersed in chanting the holy names and praying. One day, he was just sitting in the dust all day long, just chanting the holy names. And you know what his deity was? The name of Radharani. In the Sanskrit alphabet, he just wrote Sri Radha in the dust with his finger, and he would just worship that. And then at the end of the day, he would erase it so that nobody would step on it. So when he erased, he saw some gold. He rubbed the ground and he felt something there, and he started digging in a little, and there was a piece of gold. So he was thinking, "What is this?" So he dug into the ground, and what he found was something extraordinary. It was the top of the head of Srimati Radharani's deity. And next to her, underground, was a beautiful blackish deity of Lord Krishna. And it was written underneath him, Radha Gopijana Vallabha. So he had these deities. These deities you see, they're quite big deities. He had absolutely not one paisa. He only had one torn up set of clothes. He had no residence. And here is self-manifesting deities of Radha Gopijana Vallabha. So he felt that they have somehow put themselves under my care. I cannot leave them. So he would just sit there with them and just chant. And sometimes people would come by and give some madhukari. He couldn't walk, he couldn't go to homes because he can't just leave the deities in a field. He was worshiping them literally under a tree, even in the rainy season, just under a tree. And people would sometimes come by and give some roti and he would offer it. This went on for some time. And this particular family of Vrijabhasis, they saw his genuine and sincere devotion. So they said, you can put your deities in the closet of our house, near our hallway. Those deities remained there for about the next 50 years. And he worshiped them there. This is where we met him. He would never leave the deities. He would just only one time of the day, he would go to the Jamuna, because he had no one to help him. He would go to the Jamuna to collect water, to bring back to, he would bathe in Jamuna and then bring a bucket of water back to bathe the deities. Now, when I met him, he was an old man, perhaps in his 80s. And he had a certain mood about him. It was that he was the most fallen, insignificant servant of Gopijana Ballava, most unqualified, and that anyone who came to that temple, and only very few people ever came, but anybody who would come into that little temple, he would consider that that was Gopijana Ballava's very special guest, Gopijana Ballava's friend, that was personally invited. And he would give his life, his soul, his everything to serve anybody who came. He was one of the simplest people I ever met. He was really living in poverty. You know where he slept for that 50 or 60 years? He slept in the hallway, where people would just, the family would just walk by, practically stepping over him. He didn't even, the deities were in a tiny little closet. Near that closet was a much tinier closet, where just whatever the deities' belongings were was in there. And he just slept in the hallway, on the floor. So I started coming there at about 9 o'clock every morning. After about 5 different Mangal Aartis that I would attend, I would go to Gopijana Ballava temple. And one day, I just went there because I wanted to just be with Ghanashyam. So one day he told me, come today at noon, and I will give you prasad. So I was thinking, how can I refuse this? So I came at noon, and he gave me, all he had was 3 rotis, nothing else. 3 rotis, Braj rotis. So he said, you come every day. You must come. He said, you must come every day. Gopijana Ballava and Radharani want you to come every day to take prasad with them. So after about 3 days, this one sadhu that brought me to his house, he told me, do you know that Ghanashyam has not eaten anything for 4 days? I said, why? He said, because you're eating all his rotis. He said, Ghanshyam doesn't go out to beg, really. He can't go far. One house, there's three little houses right in that area. Each one cook one roti. And he goes to those three houses every day to get one roti from each house, and he brings it. That's all he has. He offers them to Gopi Jana Balabha. So he said, he's giving you all of his food. So I came the next day, and he just put down the rotis in front of me. And I said, Ghanshyam, these are your rotis. He said, no, these are your rotis. I said, I already had prasad. He said, doesn't matter. Gopi Jana Balabha wants you to eat these rotis. I said, no, I don't want these rotis. He says, you must. He spoke nice English because he was coming from an educated family. I said, Ghanshyam, I have been told that you haven't eaten in 4 days because I'm eating all of your prasad. He said, no, who has told you this? This is not true. I am eating so much. Gopi Jana Balabha is giving me everything I need. Now you eat these rotis, please. I said, Ghanshyam, I'm not going to eat these rotis because they're your rotis. Literally, he began to weep and tremble with folded palms, begging me to eat the rotis. I said, Ghanshyam, unless you show me that there's more rotis in your house, I'm not going to eat these. He said, I have so many rotis in this house. He said, Gopi Jana Balabha is his consort is Sri Radharani. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. You don't think there's any rotis in her house? I said, Ghanshyam, show me the rotis. He said, no need to show you. No need. They are here. You just take this prasad. He became so concerned. I said, Ghanshyam, I know that there are 12 places in Vrindavan that give madhukari to sadhus at a particular time of the day. In those days, every sadhu knew where to go at what time to get free rotis. That was the first thing sadhus learn when they come to Vrindavan, what the time schedule of roti distribution is in different temples. So I said, I can go anywhere. You're here, you're starving. He said, no need. You take these rotis. He started crying and pleading and praying to me. I understood if I didn't eat his rotis, I would break his heart. So I was praying to Gopi Jana Balabha, what should I do? Break his heart or starve his body? He would not let me leave without eating the rotis. But I never came back at 12 o'clock. He would always be inviting me. The next day, he didn't eat the rotis at 12 o'clock. He saved them, knowing that I would come at 9 o'clock the next day. But we had a big fight. And I refused to eat his rotis. This was his selfless service attitude. He was so old and so thin. One day I saw him walking with this bucket of water to bathe Gopi Jana Balabha. And from the Jamuna, he would walk about 3 steps, then he'd have to put it down and rest. Then he'd pick it up strenuously, 3 steps, put it down and rest. At the time, I was only 20 years old. So I took the bucket from him. I said, I will carry it to the temple. And he would not let go. He said, no need. I said, Ghanshyam, let me carry it for you. I can carry it in 3 minutes. It takes you half hour. I'm young.
He said, yes, you are young, so you should enjoy. But I am old man. I am just the servant. My life is sacrifice. He said, you are Gopi Janabalabha's friend. You should not have to work for him. But I am just his fallen servant. It is my duty to serve him. He would not give me that bucket. I was walking alongside of him for about 20 minutes, and we were having tug of wars. He would not give me the bucket. And then finally, he began to cry. And with a choked up voice, he said, this service I have to Gopi Janabalabha is all I have in life. Please, please do not take it away from me. I never tried to take that bucket away from him again. One day, I happened to be there, and it was some festival. So some Brijabasi brought him a cup of sweet rice to offer to Gopi Janabalabha. Now please, don't imitate the spontaneous love of the Brijabasis or the residents of Vrindavan. But you can hear to understand its nature. He was just eating 2-3 rotis a day for how many years? And here was a small pot of sweet rice in a clay cup that was brought. The way he offered it to the deities is he sat me down in the little hallway in front of the closet. He put the spoon, one spoon, in the cup and put it right to Gopi Janabalabha's mouth and said a little prayer. Then he put it to Sri Radharani's mouth and said a little prayer. Then he came to me, because it's only a few feet from the deities and where I was sitting. He came to me and told me, open your mouth and put your head back. And I opened my mouth and put my head back, and he just poured the sweet rice from the spoon in my mouth. And this is how he offered the entire pot of sweet rice. He just kept doing it, spoon by spoon. Gopi Janabalabha's mouth, Sri Radharani's mouth, then he just tossed it in my mouth. I said, Ganesham, save some for yourself. He said, no need, no need. And then with folded palms and tears in his eyes, he said, you are Gopi Janabalabha's friend. You are Gopi Janabalabha's friend. I am only his insignificant servant. One time in the month of January, I happened to come by to visit him in the nighttime. So, Ganesham and I were chanting together. Whenever I went, I would come at all different times of the day sometimes just to visit him. And whenever I would come, he was never idle. He was never sitting or sleeping. He was always doing seva. I'd come and he'd be fanning the deities. He'd just be standing there fanning and singing songs. Another time I'd come and he had some sandalwood pulp and he would just be putting chandan, grinding it. But most of the time, 90% of the times when I'd come, he'd just be sitting alone with harmonium and just singing beautiful songs for Gopi Janabalabha. He was always busy doing some seva, little seva.
Sometimes he would be puja, doing offerings and aartis. Sometimes he would be dressing them. So this night I came and we were singing nice kirtan together in this old, broken down little house in a hallway. So then I said, I'm going, now I must go. And Ghanashyam said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to take rest. He said, where do you take rest? I said, I always take rest on the bank of Jamuna. He said, no, no, it is January, it is very cold. And you have no home, and you have no clothes, proper clothes. You have no blanket even. He said, you stay here tonight. It is too cold. I insist, you must sleep here tonight. So I said, Ghanashyam, I sleep on Jamuna every night. He said, no, no, tonight you must stay here. Gopi Jana Ballabha, you are his guest. You must sleep nicely. So I lay down on the floor next to him, and he came out with this old blanket and put it on top of me. So I was thinking, ah, this is very nice, a blanket. And then he laid next to me. All he had is just a thin dhoti and little chadar. Not even a pillow. He just slept right on the bare floor. He just had a little piece of burlap he would put on the floor. And he would lay on his arm. And he was trembling cold. I said, Ghanashyam, this is your blanket. You sleep with your blanket. He said, no, no, it is not my blanket. It is your blanket. He said, Gopi Jana Ballabha wants you to have this blanket. You are his friend. I am only his fallen servant. You must accept this blanket. I said, no, it is your blanket. I will only stay here if you sleep with the blanket. So he was begging me, again, weeping, begging me, take the blanket, sleep nicely. He said, I am an old, useless servant. What difference does it make if I suffer? But you are dear to the Lord. You must enjoy. This was his mood. He was worshiping the deities for 50, 60 years, and I'm just a new devotee. I just arrived in Vrindavan and understood who Krishna is a couple months before. So finally, he surrendered, because I was about to walk out. I said, if you don't take this blanket, I'm leaving for the Jamuna. He said, all right, I will sleep in the blanket. No, you lay down. So I laid down, and it was cold. I was laying. Ghanashyam was under this old, tattered blanket, but it was a little warm. So sometime later, I woke up at night, middle of the night, and mysteriously I was feeling a little warm. So I looked over at Ghanashyam, and he's just laying there, trembling like a leaf in the wind. He was just. And then I looked at myself, and I saw the blanket was on me. While I was sleeping, he put the blanket on me. So very, very quietly, I picked up the blanket, and I wanted to not wake him. As soon as I touched his body with the blanket, he just leaped up. No need, no need! I said, Ghanashyam, you're not even sleeping, you're freezing. He said, no need, no need! You are Gopi Jana Ballabha's friend. I am his servant. The duty of the servant is to serve the friend. Gopi Jana Ballabha will never be pleased with me unless I sacrifice my life for the happiness of his guests and his devotees. You must accept this blanket. He said, you keep this blanket. You take it with you. I refused. So then I wasn't yelling, but I was just, no, I'm not going to sleep in this blanket. And he was insisting. Finally, I said, I'm going to the Jamuna. He said, all right, I will sleep with the blanket. So I lay down, and he lay down. And I woke up a few minutes later, and I was warm. And I looked over, and there he was, suffering miserably, freezing and trembling. So again, I tried to really, really secretly put that. As soon as I touched him with the blanket, he, "No need, no need, no need!" He said, "My life is to serve." He said, "You don't understand. My happiness is to serve. My only function in life is to serve. Whether I suffer or whether I enjoy means nothing. The only meaning is Gopijana Ballabha and Radharani happy with me? They are happy when I give everything I have to their devotees." He was so sincere. I would not accept at least 5 or 6 times that night this happened, of the switching of blankets. I never came back there at night. In the winter. But then when it started getting warmer, I started going there sometimes at night. And he was aging. It was so nice. Somehow or other, he had made this little bed for the deities. And you see the size of these deities. He would, every night, whenever possible, he would put the deities in the bed and lay them down and massage their feet and put a little blanket over them. And then he would sing for them for hours while they were sleeping. But because he was getting, he did this for many, many years. But in his old age, he could not lift the deities to put them in the bed. So anytime I would come at night, he would ask me, "Please, please help me put Radharani and Gopijana Ballabha in their bed." I wasn't initiated. At that time, I didn't even have a spiritual master, what to speak of being a Brahmin. But he would have me lift, because the feet are lighter. He would take the side of Gopijana Ballabha's feet, and I would take his shoulders, and we would carry Gopijana Ballabha and lay him in bed, and then take Sri Radharani and lay her in bed. And he was so happy. He would just be crying in joy that Gopijana Ballabha and Radharani tonight get to sleep in their bed again. He would never ask me, "Please come every night and help me." If I happened to come at night, he would very humbly appeal, will you put Gopijana Ballabha in their bed? Otherwise, he would put them to rest standing up. And how much he was so happy, I could see. It was like the most glorious festival. It was like the most glorious feast to his heart to see the deities laying nicely in a bed to take rest. One day I came in the morning and I told Ghanasyam that I am going to Barsana. He started to cry. He was so dedicated to those deities. As far as I know, although he was living in Brajbhumi, since he was about 19, 18 years old he came. This time, he was there about 60 years. He was here about 60 years. As far as I know, he had never gone to Barsana. He had never gone to Nandagaon. He had never even seen Govardhan Hill. Because he felt so duty-bound to his deities, he would never leave them. When I told him I was going to Barsana, he began to cry. And with folded hands, he said, when you go to Shriji Mandir, please tell Sri Radharani that Ghanashyam is longing to come there to see her. But that I cannot come because I am only her servant. And I cannot leave my service. Another time I was going to Govardhan Hill. I said, I'm going for Govardhan Parikrama. Ghanashyam again began to cry. He said, when you see Giriraj, tell him that Ghanashyam has been worshipping him and praying to him for many years and is longing to see him. He was seeing Barsana. He was seeing Govardhan. Much clearer than so many thousands of pilgrims that walk around on parikrama of these places. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught us, do not try to see Krishna. Sigh to serve Krishna in such a way that he will be pleased to see you. When I heard this statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometime later, the remembrance of Ghanashyam came very intimately into my heart. He truly lived by the principle of servant, of the servant, of the servant. It was actually in that little closet temple that I was with Ghanashyam and about two or three other old sadhus that would come to meet him in the mornings. And I had to leave India because my visa had expired. So they gave me two suggestions in the presence of Gopijana Balava. One suggestion is if you have to leave India, go to Mithila, Janakpur. It is the Barsana of Ram's Leela. And it's in Nepal, so it's out of India. So I went there. I was in Nepal for about a month or something, and then my Nepalese visa expired. And I only had a 2-week transit visa in India, just to go through, and then I had to depart. So from Pashupatinath, I went to Ayodhya and Prayag, and then I came to Vrindavan. I spent about 10 days in Vrindavan. My last day I did Govardhan Parikrama and then departed. But the day before that Govardhan Parikrama, I visited Ghanshyam Baba. And he and a couple others were saying, if you have to leave Vrindavan, because I was crying, I have to leave Vrindavan. They said, if you have to leave Vrindavan, you should go to New Vrindavan. I asked, what is this New Vrindavan? They said, Swami Prabhupada, he said, when he was here in Vrindavan, you went to see, because I had already accepted Prabhupada as my guru by that time in Vrindavan. He said, your Guru Maharaj, Swami Prabhupada, he was telling us that he has created a Vrindavan in America called New Vrindavan, and he told us that it's not different than Vrindavan. So you should go there. That way you'll never leave Vrindavan until you can come back. And he even told me, he said, you should be pujari when you go there. So I had to leave. And I went to Amsterdam. And that was the first ISKCON temple I ever saw. I would live with Prabhupada when he came to Vrindavan. I was with Prabhupada in Bombay for some time before, but I never saw an ISKCON temple. And the whole, except for about 10 days when Prabhupada was doing parikrama in Vrindavan, there was never any ISKCON devotees here. So, then I went to the temple in London, on Berry Place, and stayed for some time. And then I visited my parents, because they were severely heartbroken by my spirit of attempted renunciation. So I visited them for some time, and then I got the news Prabhupada was coming to New York. So immediately I hitchhiked to New York, and I was with Prabhupada for about a week there. And the day he was leaving, there was an announcement that Prabhupada is coming to New Vrindavan, and he's going to give a 7 days lecture series on Srimad Bhagavatam. It is going to be called the Bhagavad Dharma Discourses, and he's going to celebrate Janmashtami there and Vyas Puja. And we need people to help prepare for the festival, because devotees from all over the country are going to be coming. So whoever can come, please come and help to serve Prabhupada there and be there for his festival. So when I heard that, I was thinking, in Gopijanaballabha temple, I was told that I should go to New Vrindavan, and Prabhupada's going to be there. So I went to New Vrindavan. And my intention was only one thing, just to stay there till 6 months expire, then I can get a visa to come back to Vrindavan, India. That was my only intention. But when Prabhupada came and I heard him preach, I realized that we really see Vrindavan through serving the spiritual master, through serving the Supreme Lord. As long as we have any selfishness in our heart, Vishayacha Diyakabe Sudahabhimana, Narottam Das Thakur, as long as we have any material desires in our hearts, we can't really see what is Vrindavan. So by Prabhupada's mercy, he inspired me that you should just surrender to your service where you are. You are here now, just surrender to your service. Surrender to serving, helping me in my mission. So I was in charge of milking cows and doing some other simple work. And then the pujari of the Brahmachari Ashram got married. That happens sometimes. I was such a simple new devotee. I was thinking, how is it possible? He's serving Radha Vrindavan Nath. He's a personal, he's bathing Radha Vrindavan Nath. He's dressing them, he's feeding them. Why in the world would anyone who has such a wonderful service want to get married? It's inconceivable. So I went to that devotee. I said, if you want female association, come and help me milk cows. It's the safest way to associate with the opposite sex. Somehow or other, he didn't accept my advice. So he got married. Then the temple president said, you should be the pujari. I said, well, who's going to take care of the cows? He said, you do both. So I was pujari for Radha Vrindavan Nath. And I remember one day, I was putting the dress on Srimati Radharani. And something wonderful happened. I remembered then that Ghanashyam Baba told me that I should be the pujari at New Vrindavan.